What is up, real life? How's everybody doing tonight? I think y'all can do better than that. How's everybody doing tonight? I don't know about you, but I came to church to get excited about Jesus. Amen? I came tonight because I need the lifter of my head to give me strength tonight. Amen? I need strength from on high. I need a source that is not from my own, because God is good and He's faithful. Amen? You may be tired. You may have had a rough week so far at school. Can I get a witness? I feel you, but God is about to give us some strength to fight tonight. Amen? Y'all going to help me preach? I love you guys. Who's ready for God's word? We love you so much. If this is your first time, I see a lot of new faces. Welcome to Real Life. We are so grateful that you chose to be with us tonight. And I see some faces that we haven't seen in a while. And we love you. We're grateful you're back. We are excited that you are here tonight. Welcome to week 3 of our identity series. We named it My Name Is. And ironically, my name is Jonathan Criswell. And I am so glad to be your youth pastor tonight. I'm glad you're with us. And this is Real Life Columbus. And we are a ministry that has been reached by the love of Jesus. We engage in Christian community. We advance in our faith so that we can lead others to Christ. That's our identity. It is an acronym. It means something so much more than just being real. It's awesome. Amen. That's who we are. And tonight I've got a question. I've got a couple questions, actually. Who's ready to advance in their faith with me? Come on. Now I'm talking about, I want to know who is not satisfied with yesterday's blessing. No, I'm serious. I'm wondering, I want to know where the overcomers are in this room tonight. Come on. I believe God is calling us to raise the bar in our personal lives, in our personal walks with Him, and advance in our faith tonight. I don't want to leave this room the same man I was when I walked in. Amen? See, I've been praying for that tonight because I know this is very true. If you're not growing, then you are slowly dying. That's a powerful revelation that God wants to infuse into us tonight. Guys, if you are not growing in your faith, you are slowly dying. And it's got to be a wake-up call. In other words, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. I know it's a tough pill to swallow, Pastor, but it's true. That's not God's desire for your life right now. Decline is not what God wants in your life. He wants to succeed you. He wants to advance you. He wants to grow you because He's called you to lead. Amen? Different people, this is the thing, different people advance in their faith in different ways. Some people are like myself. Whenever I get a chance, I'm mowing the yard. I'm listening to music. I'm listening to a podcast. I'm listening to sermons. Some people grow in their faith by listening to a sermon. They experience a night like this. They hear God's word and they make a decision in their mind. Okay, I'm changing. And it makes perfect sense because God's word promises us that faith comes by hearing and by hearing of God's word. So that's one way to advance in our faith. I know my wife, when she came to know the Lord, what clicked for her is she saw a human video. And it made sense for the first time. And she gave her heart to Jesus. And from that point on, she was never the same. It was an incredible experience for her. A lot of people who have been in their church, in church or around church for their whole life, don't get the same result from a sermon. I am not naive to that fact. And so that is why people who have been churched or church kids, where's my church kids in the room? We got a bunch of church kids who have been born and bred in this church. And one of the reasons you need to get plugged into one of these teams to serve is the way you're going to advance in your faith may not necessarily be from a sermon, but it's going to be from serving. It's going to be by getting behind a sound booth and doing the lights. It's going to be by using your beautiful voice that sounds like an angel on this worship team, it's going to be by being a part of the pre-service party planning committee, PSP. I don't even know what the... If you have been stagnant in your relationship with God and you've been in these services week in and faithful to real life, guess what? It's time for you to get out of the pew and start serving. Because that is how you're going to advance in your faith, by getting out of your comfort zone. And I'm telling you, the moment you begin to get out of your comfort zone and serve, and you say to some of your friends, hey, guess what? I'm going to be on stage tonight, so I want you to come hear me sing, y'all. And you get your friends involved, and they come to a service, and you see them at this altar giving their heart to Jesus, man, that is going to electrify your faith. Because you're going to say to yourself, I had a part to play in that life change. I had a part to play in someone's life being transformed. And that is going to take you to a new level if you will let it. It's going to help you advance. Does this make sense? Some people get lost in a crowd as big as this. Some people are like, I don't want to talk to nobody in this room because this is scary. It's just a part of your personality. I am a natural introvert. I like to be by myself. Can I get a witness? And some of y'all are like, I can't handle this group. That is why in every seat in this room that you are sitting on, we have cards that we are launching small group ministry. That we're calling them connect groups, and we want you to get connected, because sometimes when you're in a room like this, it's hard to connect. But when you get with 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 of your friends and you get in an environment where you can actually open up and share what's going on in your life, and you have a group of young people who are ready to pray for you, who are ready to be your family, who are ready to get your back and serve you and support you when you're going through hard times in your life, man, that is something powerful that we want all of you to get a part of. It's going to help you advance in your faith. And so tonight we want you to sign up to get in a connect group. Please, by the end of this service, we're going to have multiple opportunities. We'll have leaders at the door. There's a Next Steps booth right back there. If you want to sign up and get involved in our small group ministry, we want to invite you. Please get a leader that card before you leave tonight, because we want to get you plugged in, because it's going to advance you in your faith. Can you do that for your pastor? We love you. Thank you. Tonight, as we get started, I've got some confessions. Can I confess for a little bit tonight? I've got some confessions to make as we begin a new season of advancing in our faith at Real Life. And I share these confessions, and I want you to understand and rest assured that your past does not define your identity. Your determination to make constant improvement does. Your past doesn't define you. Your determination to improve is what will define you. And so you cannot change what you've done in your past, right? We can't go back. We can't take it back. But you can change who you are becoming with your future. And so just to be real tonight, I've got to admit, guys, I used to be a terrible Christian. Can I just be honest tonight? The first half of my high school experience and all of my middle school experience was full of hypocrisy. I was one of the most hypocritical Christians I knew, and I knew a lot of Christians. And I was so full of myself, and I was so empty when it came to God. I was the guy who would make fun of people in order to make it seem like I had more influence than I actually had. I would make fun of people at someone else's expense just to be that cool guy. This is what my problem was. I was so addicted to people's acceptance that I could go after other people's acceptance at the expense of someone else. I had a foul mouth. I would curse like a sailor on the basketball court. We would be lining up on the free throw line. I'm about to box this homeboy out, and I'm somebody shooting the ball, and I'm about to box him out, and I'm like saying things that I can't say up here. Chewing him out, y'all. And y'all, just to paint a picture tonight, this was before social media. This is how old I am, okay? I am a young man. I am so 36 years young, okay? But this is before social media, so I want to just testify for some of you. Some of y'all are the same way, so don't even judge me. Some of y'all are going after people's approval, doing the same thing, tearing people down so that you can be lifted up, and God's going to get you if you keep going. Okay? See, y'all are some of y'all are the same way, but instead of having the courage to say terrible things to someone's face, you hide behind a screen or a fake Instagram account. Okay? You do it on social media because you ain't got the courage to do it face to face like I did. Okay? See, I was mean because I was in your face before Facebook. Look at your pastor, he trying to act all hard. I'm the OG gangster, right? In high school, ever since Daniel gave me a chain, I am all gangster in this place, right? I was hard. No, I wasn't. But I needed Jesus. Amen? And it all changed when I had my best friend tell me, Jonathan, you have known about Jesus and what he can do for you your entire life. Why don't you start living like it? And in that moment, that was a moment in my life that I began to advance in my faith from that point on. And I am so grateful that my past does not define my identity. I was a terrible preacher, y'all. When I started preaching, I would get a stool, and I would set that stool up, and I would try to do like a philosophical TED Talk. When I was in a room full of teenagers that needed a prophetic word to be preached to them, and I was trying to say, oh, this is how we feel, and this is how we should think, and I am insecure about myself, and I'm scared, and I don't know what to do because you make me nervous. But Jesus loves you. He really does. And I would just get up in front of students, and I was a terrible preacher. But something happened in my life where Jesus changed my heart, he changed my mindset, and he helped me understand that I need to care more about what God thinks than about what you think. And whenever that switched in my life, I began to advance in my communication, in my gifting, my calling to preach God's word. I advanced when I stopped caring about being old. Guess what? I'm old, but God sent me to be a mouthpiece to you. He called me to speak the truth in love so that your life can be better than my life ever was. He called me to warn you not to throw your life away. Guys, I was a terrible boyfriend. My wife can testify to this. I took Jubilee to her senior prom, and I was a year older, so I was robbing the cradle. And I took her, and we had the time of our life at the dance, y'all. It was incredible. We kissed in public. What? We danced the night away. Don't be PDA, but don't, y'all. Don't do it. I was a bad kid, okay? So the after party, though, senior prom, was at her house. Jubilee's mom is the coolest mom in the universe, and she had an incredible in-ground pool. She had an awesome hot tub, and her mom was so cool that she rented inflatable bounce houses. We had outdoor music. It was turnt, y'all. It was the party to be at. And so turnt. It's not even a word anymore. It lit. And so we're hanging out at this party, and I'm all up in my feelings because I just spent an incredible dinner with my girlfriend at the time, and I danced with her. I got to hold her close. I kissed her. And then we go to this after party, and it's her senior year, and she wants to hang out with her senior friends. And so I'm up in my feelings thinking, oh, baby, I love you. And she's like, who is this boy trying to be around me like that when we got bounce houses? Like, this is fun. Let's go hang out. And so I get all up in my feelings, and I'm jealous because she's hanging out with this 350-pound black man named Mondarius. We called him Mondi, and he was an awesome friend, just a friend. And I'm hanging out, and I'm thinking to myself, Jubilee needs to be over by me. And I'm getting in my feelings like some of y'all do all the time, right? And I'm like, Jubilee, I'm throwing these subliminal messages like, my arm is right here. Why aren't you under it, girl? Right? You know? And I'm trying to subliminally tell her, come on, let's spend time together. And she doesn't care. She's like, hang out with me. These are my friends. You're at my prom. If you don't like it, you can, there's the dough. And so, y'all, I made the stupidest mistake. I left her. It was ridiculous. Y'all, I was such a bad boyfriend. Are y'all okay with me testifying for a little bit? I am confessing, and it's good for the soul, okay? So I was such a bad boyfriend. Y'all have heard the details of this story in previous messages, but early on in our relationship, we had plans to go on a double date to see Christmas lights. But y'all, I made Jubilee become a third wheel because I allowed my ex-girlfriend to convince me to watch a movie with her when I should have been with Jubilee. Guys, there are a lot of things about me that I am grateful God has changed. Amen. And I'm grateful that he's still in the process of changing me today. And I share this with you tonight to help you realize you don't have to stay who you are today. Amen. You don't have to stay who you are today. You have what it takes right now to become who you want to be in the near future. I hope they put that on the screen. It's awesome. You don't have to be who you are today if you're not satisfied with where you're at in your relationship with God. In fact, it's God's desire for all of us to be advancing in our faith and growing as individuals. Our desire as a student ministry here at Real Life is not to beat you up or discourage you because of mistakes that you're making or mistakes that you've made in the past. Our desire is to help you become well-rounded young adults, which means helping inspire you to grow. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. It says, we are all being transformed into the image of God, being transformed from glory to glory. That means we're getting better and better. And this transformation comes from the Lord. God wants us to grow more than we want to grow ourselves. But we have to recognize our calling will not be realized without a personal conviction to grow. Your calling will not be realized. Who you've been created to become will not be a reality unless you get a conviction within your heart to grow. Who God has called us to be will never take place if we don't work towards getting better. And somewhere between ditching Jubilee at her own senior prom and spending time with my ex-girlfriend instead of going on a double date with her, I developed a desire to become a better man, a better boyfriend. I started realizing that I don't want to live this life without that amazing girl. And so I better stop messing things up. I learned from my mistakes, and then God sent us to this program, and this was this weird program. It wasn't weird. It was a great program that changed my life, but it was a program that required us to not date, and it was hard because we had dated for 2 years, and I'm on one side of the room, and now she's on the other. And there was this guy there by the name of Taka Iguchi. He was Asian. I love Asians. And Taka was like a young Mr. Miyagi and a little bit taller. If y'all seen The Karate Kid, I know it's old. But he was in his 20s, and he was determined. This was Taka's determination. He was one of my leaders, and he was determined that God did not want Jubilee and I to last as a couple. And we were at this school assembly one day. We did public assemblies where we did really cool things. I know how to rip a phone book with my bare hands. So acts of strength, we broke baseball bats, we blew up medicine bottles. It was crazy. We did this thing called the Ring of Fire where we would actually set up cinder block bricks in a circle, and then we would dump gasoline on the cinder blocks, and we would stand in the center of the circle, and music would start hyping up the crowd, and somebody would light it on fire, and the next thing you know, the person in the middle would start smashing the bricks. And it was just feats of strength. It was incredible to get the crowd, like, captured, captivated. What is about to happen? And so it was my night to be in the Ring of Fire. And so Everything's being set up. The crowd is starting to get hyped. The music is bumping, and they're pouring the gasoline on the cinder blocks. And the next thing I know is I got Taka Iguchi in the back of my ear saying, "Hey, son, these bricks represent basically what we would tell the crowd is the bricks represent obstacles and barriers in your life, that you can overcome any obstacle. You can break through any wall." And Taka got in the back of my ear, and he said, "Son, these bricks, they represent your relationship with Jubilee. It needs to be broken." And in that moment, when the crowd is getting hype, I'm thinking to myself, the first and immediate thought in my mind was, "I'm sorry, Mr. Taka Iguchi." I didn't say this. But in the back of my mind, I said to myself, "Taka, these bricks represent your face. And I'm going to break your face tonight. Get behind me, Satan," is what I was thinking. And so I knew, I knew my shortcomings. I knew the ways I had messed up as a boyfriend. I knew the areas of my life that I hadn't yet been sanctified, and I knew I needed to advance if I was going to be capable of being a good husband to Jubilee. But guys, I've come tonight to encourage someone that our weaknesses should become fuel to our fire to grow, not an excuse to give up. Our weaknesses should be fuel to our fire to advance in our faith, not an excuse to stop. And guess what, Taka? We got 15 years of marriage and 3 beautiful children that prove that love never fails. Praise Jesus. But here's the deal tonight. I share these things. People with a genuine desire to advance in their faith and grow as individuals simply don't make excuses. They don't make excuses. They don't blame their circumstances. "Well, I'm not getting more of Jesus because Jesus isn't helping me with this." They don't make excuses. They fight through them. Amen? I know that's tough if you're going through it to hear, but God is going to help you get to the other side if you don't stop. In that moment of breaking bricks and breaking expectations others were trying to put on me, I realized that I had a dream to marry my now wife, Jubilee. And I came to the conclusion that dreams we learn to fight for will be the dreams we come to see true. They'll come true if we fight for them. I learned that advancing is a fight, and that fight is worth it, real life. Man, the guy we're talking about tonight in God's Word is, he had a lot of growing up to do, and so do we. And Jacob was a con artist, and I just want to paint a picture of who he was. He knew how to work a system. Once Jacob manipulated his own brother when his brother was starving to sell him his birthright for a bowl of soup. What does that mean? That means, I don't know if you've heard this phrase before, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Have you heard that before, real life? Well, that phrase should have been the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But in a weak moment, Jacob manipulated his brother who was starving, and he said, "Hey, sell me your birthright. I'll give you this bowl of soup to eat." And in that moment, he changed. Jacob literally put fur on his arms to deceive his half-blind and dying father to bless him instead of his brother Esau, who was supposed to get the blessing from his father. He was a con artist. Jacob did a lot of things he probably regrets, like we all do. And he had given his brother multiple reasons to hate him. And we're picking up in Jacob's story where Jacob was literally running. Because of some of the terrible things he had done, he hurt people he should have loved the most, like many of us do, and he ran from his mistakes. But even in running, he found what it took to fight to get better from it all. And Jacob's story proves to us tonight that no matter what stage of development that you're in right now, real life, you have the ability to advance if you're willing to fight for it. No matter where you're at in your walk with Jesus, you may be far from him. Tonight is your night if you will fight for it. Jacob was finally about to face his brother, whom he had betrayed multiple times in multiple ways for the first time in a long time. And Jacob was prepared for the absolute worst, but Jacob was praying for breakthrough. And the night before this meeting, he was praying to God about meeting his brother. And this is what happens in Genesis chapter 32. It's going to be on the screen for you. says this. It says, Jacob was alone, and a man came and wrestled with him. I know that's kind of weird, but it's going to make sense. In the middle of the night, a man came and wrestled with him till daybreak, all night long. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, the man touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched, and Jacob wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, because it's daybreak. But Jacob replied, and this is something I want you to get in your spirit, I will not let you go until you bless me. This was God. The man asked him, what is your name? And Jacob replied, Jacob, knowing it meant deceiver. Jacob answered, I'm a deceiver. I'm a heel grabber. I'm someone who's done terrible things. And the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with man and have overcome. And so Jacob said, please tell me your name. But this man replied, why do you ask my name? And I believe it's because the man was in an attitude of saying, you know who I am. And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, yet my life was spared. So in this powerful moment, Jacob was literally wrestling with God Almighty. In verse 24, it says that Jacob was left alone. And from the beginning of this passage, we need to realize and internalize the fact that you are the one who is ultimately responsible for your faith. Jacob was by himself. No one else was with him. Jacob was all alone when God came. And students, I'm telling you, when Jesus cracks the sky open to return for his victorious church and you are facing the judgment seat of Christ, he won't be asking about your mama's faith. He won't be asking about your best friend's faith. He won't be asking about your youth pastor's faith. He won't be asking about the prayers your youth pastor has been praying over you. He's going to be asking about the prayers you've been praying and your personal faith. Guys, we can't rely on someone else's faith and expect to grow and advance in our own faith. It's your responsibility to grow. Scripture says that as iron sharpens iron, yes, we sharpen one another, but you have to determine to advance in your faith for yourself. I can't do that for you, and no one else can make that decision for you. You've got to make that decision yourself. And so in this holy moment happens for Jacob where God Almighty comes and meets with him personally, and they begin to wrestle. And despite Jacob's failures, despite Jacob's heartache, despite the pain of Jacob's past, despite having the identity of deceiver placed on him for his entire life, Jacob still has some fight left in him. And that should encourage somebody who's going through it tonight. Guys, God sent me tonight to teach us that advancing in your faith and spiritual growth does not happen by accident. It has to be fought for and struggled with. When you grow in your faith, it's because you're fighting for it, not because it just happens. Our culture, I'm telling you, you're feeling it now, a couple weeks into school, our culture will fight against our personal relationship with Jesus. Amen. It's hard. And if we don't fight back, we're going to lose when it's all said and done. There will be times when our flesh and our sinful nature will fight against us. The Apostle Paul articulated it so well when he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we got to fight. The story says that God wrestled with Jacob all night until daybreak is what that means. And this wasn't like a weird, y'all know what fights look like in the lunchroom, where it's like that weird interaction where two guys stand up or two girls, man, girl fights are crazy. Two guys stand up, they push each other a couple times, maybe one sucker punches the guy in the face, and the next thing you know, there's a bunch of administrators jumping on top of students, and the next thing you know, everybody's filming it on their camera, and the next thing you know, it's like, okay, let's go back to my tater tots, right? That's not the fight we're talking about tonight. This was from the time the sun was setting until the sun was about to come up again. It was all night long. It was a fight. And tonight, it wasn't just a moment. And in that moment, in that struggle, in that fight, Jacob had the courage and the guts to tell God, God, if you change my life, if you bless me, I'll let you go. But I'm not letting go until you bless me. He found some fight in him. There was a tenacity about Jacob that I'm hoping we can grab a hold of as we continue in this semester. Guys, I like to work out. I'm not bragging. I enjoy to exercise. And over the past month, I've taken some steps to grow in my physical fitness. I've got some goals, and I'm shooting for them. And I've realized that although I may be in better shape than most, a lot of people, I won't say most, a lot of people my age, I'm in better shape than some people in this room. I'm just saying, come on now, step up. I still have room to advance. Praise Jesus. I've learned that working out once a week, that'll help me feel better, right? And it helps you feel better about yourself, and visible results only happen with consistent working out, right? I've learned that nothing, this is a phrase that Jubilee taught me, nothing tastes better than looking good. It's a cool phrase that maybe you want to adopt when you're about to leave service and want to order something at Sonic. Just remember, nothing tastes better than looking good. Praise Jesus. You want to advance in your physical fitness, nothing tastes better than looking good. And I've learned, guys, I've learned that I'm not going to rep 215 pounds six times on my last set by going once a week. I'm not going to reach the 250-pound bench press max that I'm shooting for, and I'm about there if I'm working out once a week. And running, I've learned this is a temptation, because running once a week, it keeps my heart in check, and it makes me think that I can eat whatever I want without feeling like a fatty if I run once a week, right? Can I get a witness? Y'all with me? But y'all, I won't ever get rid of the love handles, and I won't ever see a six-pack if all I do is once a week of cardio. Praise Jesus. And I'm saying this, I've been running each night for the past month with my wife, Jubilee, and sometimes with our dog. And every night is hard. Every night it hurts. Every night I just want to watch Fixer Upper and eat black cherry ice cream from Publix. Can I get a witness? Every night, that's what I want to do. But here's the deal. Every night I get faster. Every night I have more energy. Every night I have more breath in my lungs. Every night I'm ready to increase my distance. These results simply will not happen with a once-a-week mindset. And your faith in God won't advance with a once-a-week mindset either. If you're in this room and you think that you're going to advance in your faith because you got to church once a week, you have another thing coming. My point is this. Jacob wrestled with God all night, refusing to let go. Many times physical things parallel the supernatural. The same things that will get me the results physically are the same principles that will help me advance spiritually. And one of those principles is this. The more consistent you are in your fight to advance in your faith, the stronger you will be when a battle comes. The more consistent you grow. Get in your Bible every single day. Download the Real Life app and get. There is a Bible app within the Real Life app. And you can read your Bible every single day. And I promise you, you will get stronger if you do that. If once a week in the church service is all you're doing to advance your faith, it's not going to cut it when temptations come your way. So many of us blame the temptations. We blame the temptations that are always in front of us. But we blame the circumstances that seem to be holding us back. But the reality is we are simply not fighting hard enough to grow. An interesting thing happens in this story that we're reading tonight. God touches Jacob's hip and displaces it to hinder him and make him weak in the struggle. And this limitation and this obstacle doesn't sway Jacob's intensity. It doesn't stop him from fighting. What can we learn from that dislocated hip, Pastor Jonathan? How about if the things taking place in your life right now don't challenge you, they'll never change you? How about that? Jacob's name was changed because God challenged him. Or what about this truth? Whatever makes you uncomfortable is most likely your biggest opportunity for growth. I'm going to say that again because that's good. Whatever is making you uncomfortable in your life right now is probably your biggest opportunity to grow. The very things you're not satisfied with in life should be a catalyst for positive change in your life. Amen? I'm going to invite the band to come as we close. Instead of having a mindset of, God, I just want you to make my life easy for me. I need you to fix all my problems, erase all my failures, give me everything I need for a perfect future. Man, maybe we should be having an understanding that our limitations could actually be a gift from God to teach us how to fight for advancing in our faith. God touched his hip and gave him a weakness to test him. Sometimes difficulty and opposition is God's way of testing us to see how badly we want something from him. I'm going to invite you to stand and invite the leaders to come forward as we close. I want you to remember Jacob's hip was popped out of socket and he still said to God, I'm not letting go of you until you bless me. I want you to see this powerful principle in Scripture. If you're going through a hard time, I'm sorry. And I realize it's not fun to go through it. But tonight, I want you to be reminded in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's a powerful truth. And if life is always easy, then faith is not necessary. Do you understand what I'm saying? If God just made everything easy, then it wouldn't require us to have faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. So tonight, I want to challenge us to advance in our faith. I don't want this semester to be like any other. I don't want your life to be the same as it was last semester. Here's some practical steps that I think you can take if you get it within your spirit. I want to change. I want to grow. Man, if you're in this room and you've given your heart to Jesus and you've never been baptized, then next week we are about to have a baptism service in this room. And God wants you to take that next step of faith and publicly proclaim to your friends, to your family, to whoever may be in this room and say, I love Jesus and I'm going to serve him for the rest of my life. The old me has passed away and behold, the new me has been raised to life through Christ. I want you to take that next step of faith. If you've never been baptized, text me, direct message Real Life Columbus if you don't know my number. But I want to baptize you and that will advance you. It's a simple step, but it's a powerful step that will change your life. We have an opportunity to get plugged in to small groups. Those cards are available to you. This will be a practical tool to make your relationship with God more than a once a week thing. Once a week may make you feel good, but it won't get you the results that God desires for your life. Man, fill out the card. Get in the small group. Be a part of a family in this ministry. If you're a person who has been faithful but feel like your faith is plateaued and you've hit a ceiling and how far you've come in your relationship with God, can I tell you tonight, God is calling you to start serving. God is calling you to start serving. You may not be a gifted musician, but guess what? You can learn. The first youth ministry that I ever served and led, man, there was no worship team. We had to do YouTube videos for worship. And it was terrible. And there was a young man who finally, his name was Nathan, and we got to a point, and he got to a point in his faith where he was like, man, I've grown so much from being a part of this ministry, but I'm plateaued. And he said, you know what, Pastor Jonathan, I'm tired of YouTube, and so I'm going to learn how to play guitar. And Nathan took it upon himself. Within 2 months, he had learned how to play guitar, and he was starting to lead live worship for his own youth group. And I'm telling you, if you want to grow in your faith, you want to advance and go to the next level, then start serving every week. Make yourself a fool on the announcement videos. so that people will laugh and enjoy and know that they can be a part of something fun, because this place is fun. Amen? Serve. The bottom line is this. Paul described advancing in our faith perfectly. He said it in 1 Corinthians verse 13, chapter 13, verse 11. He said, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put my childish ways behind me. So tonight, God is calling us to advance. God is calling you and I to advance in our faith. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this room, making this a holy moment, no talking, no distractions. Maybe you're in this room and like Jacob, you've been labeled. You've got an identity where you're a deceiver. You've done some things you're not proud of. And it's created an identity crisis in your life, and you're thinking to yourself, how can I advance in my faith when I've not got much faith? Tonight, God wants to heal you. God wants to restore you. God wants to change your identity if you'll choose to go after it and say, God, you know what? Tonight I came in a person that I'm not satisfied with. I came in this room a person that I'm not happy about. I've came into this room ashamed and beaten down, and I want to change. So tonight, if that's you and you want to grab a hold of God and say, I won't leave this moment until you forgive me, until you set me free of my sin, until you love me like a father, until you give me a new identity, until you rescue me from the sin that I've involved myself in, and until you write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, I don't want to leave this room, this moment, until I encounter God with a real experience right here and right now and restore my relationship with Him. If that's you and you're in this room tonight and you want to get right with Jesus, lift up your hand all across this room. I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. You want to give your heart to Jesus. You're not satisfied with where your faith has been, and you need Jesus to forgive you. Right now is your moment. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for all of these hands. Now all across this room, say it loudly, say it proudly, together in one voice. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your Son who died for me on Calvary's cross. While he was hanging, while he was beaten, while he was whipped, while he was tortured for the sin that I've committed, he had me in his mind. Thank you for that love. Thank you for that sacrifice. Thank you for the forgiveness that I don't deserve. But right now, I accept your forgiveness. I release my sin. I lay down my shame. No longer will I carry my guilt. No longer am I condemned. I am a new creation. You have given me a new name. You've written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And tonight, I will serve you, I will love you, and I will follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name.